over Baghdad has been illuminated. We're seeing bright flashes going on all over the sky.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Contra, coming to you live from the G Camp in rural northern North Carolina. I am your host, the one and only NC Scout, and, well, it certainly was one for the record books, and still is, folks. Buckle up. We're just in the opening act of this play. Ah, yes, living on a war footing. You know, recording this on Veterans Day, and this is the second time that I've tried to record a post-election episode, not because I'm angry or disappointed or, you know, any of those emotions. I actually don't have any emotions about it at all. It's just trying to get the message exactly right. You see, you have to take into account the fact that we are who we are. And the left isn't going to stop. And I think a lot of people are warming up to a number of serious realities. Red pills, if you will. They're learning that there never was free and fair elections in the United States. Some degree of election meddling, ballot stuffing, what have you, has always been there. But this blatant, this obvious, well, you know. I had class last weekend. We had a TC3 class, Tactical Combat Casualty Care. My friend, mech medic, fellow brother in arms, taught the class, and man, we had a huge class, huge crowd there. Class was absolutely packed full, had more students in there than either he or I expected. And you know, despite all that, despite all the goings-on and the doom and gloom that a lot of people have, there was a lot of happiness, a lot of laughter, a lot of good fellowship. You know, they're going to try and get you down. Mainstream media. Oh, Fox News. Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people disappointed in Fox News these days. Right? Well, it's also a good thing. You find out who your friends are. You find out who your allies are. And when the chips are down, you begin to appreciate the people who are still there by your side. You know, folks, we're going to have battles that we win and that we lose. This is a long game, you know. But there's a lot to take away from this. Even though it's very easy to get down in the dumps, to get depressed, to say it's the death of the nation. Well, it's also the birth of a new one. Did you ever think about it like that? It's the birth of a new day. The dawn of a new era. Good can come of this, and good will come of this. Because good men are willing to stand up for it. You know, as I said, it's Veterans Day, and I spend Veterans Day, personally, living the life that many of my brothers that I've known over the years can no longer do. And you should do the same. Don't get so down in the dumps, depressed, and man, this is terrible. And also don't have unrealistic expectations, because folks, I'm telling you, the left is on the move. They're going to do what they're going to do regardless. And we're going to do what we're going to do, right? And there's no reason not to have fun while we're doing it. Kick back, drink some good whiskey, have a good cigar, but most importantly, enjoy the people you're around. You know, I'm reminded of an album by one of my favorite artists of all time in any genre. Shooter Jennings. It's Waylon Jennings' son. And Shooter Jennings, been a huge fan of him for a really, really long time. Almost 20 years now. I think he cut his very first album, solo albums, way back in 2003. Maybe it was 04. I think it was 03. Put the O back in country. I remember that. But, you know, once he got away from Universal, got away from that label, and moved on to doing his own work, the creativity of this guy, the originality of this guy, and his insights on the world really became apparent. And one of the greatest albums, at least in my opinion, that's ever been recorded, one of the most influential ones for me and how I think about things, the album called Black Ribbons. And, you know, for those of you who haven't heard Black Ribbons or even heard of it, you need to go check it out. You need to go listen to it. Shooter growing up, him and Waylon, you know, Shooter has a radio show that he does every Saturday evening. And, you know, it's a very rare event that I have a Saturday off these days. I'm just out there training people pretty much every weekend. And I enjoy it and love it. There's no higher calling. But Shooter has a show that he does on Outlaw Country Radio on XM, and it's excellent. He talks a lot about Waylon and his experiences growing up in the country music life and outlaw lifestyle and all that of that era. And it, me being a music fan in general, it's just very, very interesting. But Shooter himself, I've met him a couple times, gone to a couple of his shows, and got to meet him. They both times was in relatively small venues, and super cool guy. Absolutely a patriot. Absolutely loves his country. And one really interesting thing about Shooter is that he grew up listening to Coast to Coast AM with Waylon, and Waylon was a big fan of William Cooper as well. And so it's really interesting. Just meeting him before a show, the second time that I met him, and kind of talking a little bit about that. It's very, very interesting. It's very interesting. Shared a cigarette and sipped on a beer and talked to this guy, this absolutely brilliant musician, about all that was going on. And this was back during the Obama years. This was back long before anybody knew anything about Trump. But he cut an album called Black Ribbons. You need to listen to it. It's dedicated to William Cooper. And in it, it is narrated by Stephen King. And Stephen King is playing the part of a radio show host on the last night before the radio waves are going to be commandeered by a government authority and shut down. All of the songs have a really intense meaning to them. And, you know, what was really cool is back 5 years ago during the presidential election, or the lead up to the presidential election, because Shooter cut this album back in 2010, when 5 years later, going on 6 years later, that album was re-released, and he did a 7-part podcast that was very, very similar to how William Cooper would do them back in the day. And he was talking about his inspiration for the album. It's called Beyond the Black. You should go and you should listen to it. Not just because it was well done and not just because it's by a famous or somewhat famous music artist out there, but because the information that he had in there was spot on. And that's part of the reason that I was inspired to begin podcasting too on my own platform. So it's certainly worth your time to go listen to. Again, that album, Black Ribbons, I've listened to it unknown. If I've listened to it once, I've listened to it 1,000 times. It's truly a work of art, masterful work of art. And it's not very well known, but I think that you should go listen to it. Especially in this day and age where so many people are brought down. Because you have to understand something. What we had in this election, which the outcome doesn't surprise me or shock me at all, and it shouldn't have you. But what we had was an outsider to this very corrupt system. He ripped the curtain back. You know, regardless of what you think of Trump, whether you like him, whether you worship the ground that he walks on, or whether you despise the man and barely only tolerated him because he was just that much better than Hillary. You have to understand that this man ripped the curtain back on all the lies, the corruption, the depravity, everything that was going on. Could he have done more? Yeah. Will he do more? We'll see. Will we do more? Absolutely. So, what I'm trying to say, in essence, is that Biden is a placeholder. Harris is a placeholder. These people did not advance themselves in politics or get into politics for any gain but their own. And as is extremely apparent now, is the depths of which the collusion between the media, between foreign influences, especially China, the Democrat Party, and even the Republican Party, is to be understood and recognized. These are not people that have our best interests at heart, but their own. They'll sell us out. They'll sell you out. They've sold us out over and over. They've ruined the lives of people overseas for their personal enrichment. They've taken the United States and what we stand for and what we believe, perverted it, and destroyed our image overseas, meanwhile telling us that this is all in the name of freedom, when we know that it is completely opposite and contrary to the fact. And all the rigging, the fraudulent elections, the ruined lives, the murder, the mayhem, and the theft, it's all coming home. That's right. Just as the Reverend Jeremiah Wright said, back in 2008, upon the election of Barack Hussein Obama, America's chickens have come home to roost. And they may have. We've got a rough time ahead, folks. I hope you're ready for it. I myself am living somewhat on a war footing. I've bought a lot of ammo, a lot of mags, spare parts, food storage, all those things that I've told you to get in podcasts, previous podcasts to this one. I don't tell you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. And that's a general rule of leadership. So, how well did you use your time? Hopefully well. And if you're just warming up to the party, let not your heart be troubled. There's certain things you can do. There's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. The first thing that you need is training. Always. And never, ever underestimate the value of community networking. But with that said, you know, you need to be making those final preparations because this is going to get rough from here. I have my predictions. Life is going to continue to go on. It's just going to go on in a very different way than a lot of Americans are used to. You see, on this Veterans Day, I think that a podcast like this one is very appropriate because I can explain to you and tell you that, as any other veteran can, what the Third World looks like, what life in a war zone looks like. Life continues to go on. There were people living in Iraq, living their lives day to day in that long time that it was occupied. They were used to it. They adjusted. They adapted. The same with Afghanistan. And in fact, the Afghan people have constantly been at war for the majority of the 20th and into the 21st century. They're still there. They still exist. Pakistan, in a constant state of civil war. They're still there. They still exist. Their neighbor, India, in a constant cold war with all of its neighbors, including China to the north, Pakistan to the west, and in a bit of a low simmer civil war with the Naxals and with Kashmiri insurgents inside its own borders. About Colombia. Colombia was home to the longest civil war ever in the entire world for most of the 20th century. They're still around. People still live there. Some people in Colombia had a very high quality of life. You see, the United States is going to face a number of very serious challenges. And it doesn't mean that for the preppers out there, for the folks who've been preparedness-minded and sought that self-sufficient lifestyle, that everything that you've done has been for naught. Because it absolutely is. It means that you people are the best prepared. You're the ones who are going to make the biggest difference later on down the road. I would say also that central to all that is religion. Now, those of you out there who've interacted with me on a personal level and who have interacted with me via email know that I'm a fairly religious person myself. You know, we have to have that to remain grounded. And we have to remain grounded. We have to know that this life is not permanent. These things are not permanent. They're worldly, and that we answer to a higher power. Now, I'm not here to proselytize you, and I'm not here to tell you that you need to be a Christian, but I am. And that's for me. That's how I choose to live. That's what I believe. But you have to have it. You have to have religion. You know, and talking about war zones, you know, back in 2008 in Iraq, right after the election of Barack Hussein Obama, boy, was that an interesting time. It reminds me a lot of now, a lot of parallels, except that I was living in a war zone at the time, and now this one here at home is in danger of becoming one. We bought a lot of ammo. All of us. Everybody I worked with. We were always, the whole time that we could get on the internet, we were buying ammo. Buying as much ammo, mags as we could. Man, I spent thousands of dollars back then. And ironically enough, the ammo prices were about the same back then as they are now. I remember 7.62 by 39 being somewhere around $400 for a case of 1,000. And we're back there again. Went down for a bit. Now we're back there again, which still isn't that high. Especially not compared to 5.56, where you can find that. 9mm, which I don't think you could find any 9mm in quantity. I think I saw some of the Wolf showing back up, but man, not much of it. Not much of it. Slim pickings for 9mm. You know, but back then, one of the big differences was it was a lot of conservatives that were buying ammo. Liberals weren't. That's not the case today. In fact, it's quite the opposite. But the irony was, and remains, is that we were at war over there, and we were getting ready for a war here. Of course, that was 12 years ago. Now we are where we are. You know, I never stopped preparing. I know a lot of people did. I know a lot of people got that normalcy bias and decided, well, you know, I don't like the president, but whatever. It'll be okay. Well, can't say I blame you. I mean, who doesn't like a normal life? Things get in the way, stuff happens, you know, vacations, DirecTV, all that cool stuff, right? Well, we are where we are now, and I keep saying that, we are where we are now. It all underscores the fact, folks, that you need to get ready. You need to make those last minute preparations, the mental preparations, the physical preparations. Get ammo where you can, get the mags where you can. Gun Mag Warehouse, American Partisan Site affiliate, definitely get mags while you can. Night vision. If you don't have night vision, some night vision is popping up here and there. Ready-made resources, my friend Bob Griswold. Go contact him. Don't wait. If all these arguments that are being made on the conservative side of recounts, of election fraud, and we know that there's election fraud, and I don't think anybody even on the left is doubting that there was election fraud on a massive scale that happened. The thing is that they don't care. But the point that I'm making to you is that if Biden and Harris, the bureaucracy of Washington, regains power, and I should say they never truly lost power either, but once they regain full control, I expect night vision and thermal sales to halt to civilians. I've predicted that in the past. I'm predicting that again. I've talked about it with different night vision dealers, asked the question. They all agree. Night vision sales to civilians will probably come to a halt. I know that if I were on the other side, that's something I would target. So get it while you can. Get these things while you can. Yes, it is expensive. No, I am not concerned with you telling me how expensive it is. I know. I had to buy my units too, okay? I spent the money on good thermal. I spent the money on good night vision. You should too. If you don't want that capability, do not complain to me, okay? It is what it is. Right? It is what it is. But it is certainly a consideration that you need to make. And, you know, talking about the whole bureaucracy, talking about the power brokers in Washington, some people call this the deep state. I call it the bureaucracy because that's what it is. It's a very simple term for a very simple issue. They're the bureaucracy. They put themselves in power. They put themselves in charge. They wield the levers of power. They control what you see. They control what you hear. And they control what a lot of people think. And that's why sites like American Partisan exist. They've worked very hard to try and shut us down. They continue to work very hard to shut us down. And that's why we work so hard, tirelessly, to keep this website up. And by we, I mean the people who write for American Partisan are quite literally the team. There's no people behind the scenes. There's no infrastructure. There's no secret room underground with a bunch of computers and stuff in it. It's us. That's it. And we're doing the best that we can. Now, when we're averaging 15,000 hits a day, last weekend was even better than that. We're doing really well. So just bear with us. But we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. And I appreciate all that this community is out there doing for us. But, you know, that said, that's why we exist. We're not the mainstream media at all. That's why I have this podcast. That's why I never tried to put this on Spotify or Broadcastify or iTunes. I never did. So you get used to listening to me here so that our voice here on our hosting platform can connect with you so that they can't shut us down. Maybe temporarily. They might take us offline for a couple hours. We've had some big DDoS attacks here and there. They've tried to take us offline. But it's not permanent. It's not permanent. You know. It is what it is. They can try. They're never going to shut us down. They're never going to stop me from training. I put everything that I have into this because I believe in you. I believe in you people out there. I believe in the common man. That's why the cost of training, when I run my courses, I'm not trying to gouge anyone. I'm not trying to be a wealthy man. I'm not a wealthy man. I want to train the people who really make America work out there. The working class man who is trying to figure out how to run his weapon better so that he can protect his family, so that he can look his family in the eye and say, I learned how to keep you safe. I learned this skill to help me communicate with my neighbors. I learned this so that we can work in an unconventional warfare environment so that one day we'll have a better quality of life. We have a fighting chance. You know, I had somebody in the comments wrote a piece about normalcy bias and the rural fight that's brewing. And I had a person in there that didn't seem to like the post too much. I don't know if he was trolling or what he was trying to say. But he insinuated that I hang out with a bunch of tactical people. Well, the guy's obviously not familiar with me. He's obviously not familiar with you. And he obviously doesn't know squat about what we do here. I don't think there's literally anything about me or what I do that could be considered tactical other than pushing night vision because it's critical. I don't run around with fancy plate carriers or flannel shirts. I don't have a bunch of doodads on my weapons. Keep everything slick. You know, I don't have a YouTube channel with a billion subscribers on it where, you know, they hang on my every word like I'm some sort of gun messiah. I'm not any of those things. You know, when I'm teaching most of my classes, I'm wearing a pair of faded Realtree pants or Mossy Oak pants. I've got a pair of Briarproof Wranglers that are camo that I've had for about a decade now that I love wearing because they're comfy. And I have a lot of briars where we do class. They're tough. They're rugged pants. I wear a lot of Carhartt. I really don't think anything we do is tactical. I don't think anything I do, I try to keep the tactical bullshit to a minimum. You know, it's all about the common man. It's all about you. It's about you out there. You know, it's about the guy who I had in class out in Wyoming who had never been to a tactical course before, and all of a sudden after 60 rounds and one day on the range of focusing on the fundamentals made solid first round hits on a human sized silhouette on steel at 400 meters. All the while wearing faded Carhartt pants and a brown t-shirt. A Vortex Strike Eagle scope, I think was what he had on his weapon, and Wolf ammo. Totally, totally tactical, right? Totally tactical. You know, that crowd, they get on my nerves. I think a lot of y'all know that. I mean, and I try to keep ego out of the equation as much as possible. You know, doesn't do anybody any good. And that should be your approach too. But anyway, I think, you know, rough times are ahead. Community networking is where it's at. And the backbone of all of that is training. Let's take a break. I'll catch you on the flip side.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
So coming back, you know, getting back to the community networking aspect of all this, one of the most important things, and I've talked about this in the past, I've written a few posts about it and did a podcast where I talked a little bit about it, but one of the most important things you can have is a way to cook off-grid, and I don't mean, you know, just having a grill in the backyard. I've got a grill in the backyard too. If you do, by the way, I definitely recommend charcoal over propane because, you know, talk about long-term grid down, where are you going to get propane from? You know, you might find some, but you ain't going to find a lot. If there's a disruption in the supply line. Charcoal, on the other hand, charcoal grill, you know, you can use any kind of wood. And that, or really any kind of fuel, build a fire and you're good to go. Definitely have a fire pit though. You definitely need a fire pit and a pretty good sized one. Learn how to build a cook fire. Learn the difference, you know, between a fire for warmth versus a fire for cooking. They're different things. There's different types of wood for cooking too. You know, typically, you want hardwood and you want good dried wood for cooking. Doesn't have a lot of sap because I'm going to tell you that sap residue, it's going to get in your food. You know, I had a guy in a survival class long, 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 long ago in a land where there's a lot of pine, and he built a cook fire using pine. Everything he made on that cook fire tasted just like that. I mean, it was terrible. Stuff was terrible. So, you know, moral of the story, don't do that. Hickory is really good. Dried poplar is a very neutral scent and flavor to it. You know, you're not going to taste that, so poplar is good. Hickory and oak, though, are two of the best. Get them good and dried. There's folks around here that age wood for about 3 years before they do anything with it. And, you know, they're certainly not wrong from that. If you do cut wood, You need to age it at least 12 months before you consider doing anything with it. That's just a good rule of thumb. Burning green wood is not a good idea. It's not a good idea inside your house because of the amount of soot that's going to build up from it. But, you know, for cooking, that those flavors are going to get into your food and they're not going to taste that good. So, you know, some people really like hickory smoke. I like it on certain things for the smoke. But, you know, when I'm talking about cooking generally off-grid, you want some really dried out wood for that. But there's a couple of cooking supplies that you need that I have on hand and I strongly recommend you have. And the first one is called a discata. Discata is sometimes referred to as a barbecue disc. Definitely think that should be the top of the list for getting for cooking off-grid over a small fire pit. And to build a small fire pit, I mean, you know, folks, I've seen people in the third world cook on nothing more than a couple of cinder blocks, that discata, which is just a parabolic piece of iron, or a piece of steel, rather, with two little handles on it. And you just set it down over the fire. I mean, super simple. You know, caveman stupid. Afghans do it. Pakistanis do it. Iraqis out in the rural areas do it. This is how they cook. And it's the same for you. And that discata can make literally anything. I mean, on mine, last summer, in the weekends that I had off, I was constantly cooking on that thing. Cooking all kinds of different stuff, from frying rice to chicken cutlets to steak, cooking breakfast. You can cook a whole meal and do it very, very efficiently and very quickly. So I strongly recommend having one of those because you can use it all year and you can cook food for a lot of people. That's really important because when you're talking about community networking, you know, we as preppers, we have our year's worth of food or multi-years worth of food and the freeze-dried food and all this stuff, right? But the reality is that a lot of people in your community probably don't. And the people who are just coming to the party, they probably don't either. And the time is getting short. You know, the time is getting short on this. You know, the intersection of all these fractures in the dam are coming together. You know, and so keep that in mind that, you know, that 50-pound sack of rice that maybe your neighbor has that they bought for COVID, they have no idea how to cook it, and they're never going to cook that much rice before it goes rancid. But the thing is that you can feed a whole bunch of people with that, and you can cook a lot of this quickly, very quickly using that. The other thing that you need to have is a stew pot. I have a few stew pots. I have cast iron stew pots, and I have stainless steel stew pots, and mine are all real large. The cast iron that I have is a 23-gallon, and then I have an 8-gallon. The 23-gallon stew pot, I've made Brunswick stew, you know, every fall into Christmas, and then in early in the new year, it's kind of a staple in the Southeast to have a stew. And really what that is, what a Brunswick stew is all the food that is left over that you didn't have room to can back in the old days when everybody had a pressure canner and canned all their food for the winter. But all the stuff you had left over that you couldn't can, you made a stew with. And there were wild game. Wild game would go into it. Typically, you'd have squirrel, rabbit, and deer, and you know whatever else you could scrounge up. You know, for you more civilized folks out there, that could be chicken, beef, and pork. But you put that over in there with bouillon cubes and, you know, boil the water and put the sweet corn in there and the lima beans and the tomatoes and everything else and just let that slow simmer. And it's like a 14-hour process. But I'm going to tell you, that's a heck of a good community builder. You know, I took stew to all my neighbors. I made a giant stew right around New Year's. Spent all day out there from 4 in the morning till well after dark stirring that thing. Made so much stew, you know, 23 gallons. I think once I was done, it had cooked down to about 16 or 17 gallons of stew that was left over. And I took stew to all my neighbors, and they loved it. I mean, they absolutely loved it. They loved the gesture. They loved the fact that somebody made a stew on their own. It wasn't just a fire department or a church. It was an individual. And everybody likes getting a hot meal. Everybody likes getting a hot meal. You know, one of my neighbors is getting on up there in age. Her mom's elderly. Her sister's getting up there in age, too. And they really appreciated that. It went a long way. You know, and this is how you build that community. You know, don't expect everybody to agree with you. You know, don't expect everybody to agree with you. But you would be very surprised to find that when people are hungry and they're scared, how they put aside their differences and they want to come to the table just because you got warm food. That's how you do it. And you have that ability. I have that ability. Completely off the grid. Completely off the grid. Needing no refrigeration, no real infrastructure other than fire and a piece of iron. And that's all it is to it. You know, and it's just a different approach to things. You know, and I've seen people do this in the third world and live their day-to-day lives like that. Never have a problem. It's a very simple life. And recently, I was talking with a friend of mine who shall remain nameless. He has a YouTube channel, somewhat well-known survival instructor, and all-around cool guy. Man, we were talking about stories from Afghanistan, going back and forth. And the one thing that we both said, you know, almost as if we were reading each other's mind, is the admiration of the simplicity of life in Afghanistan. Dwell on that. You know, it's real easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day goings on. All the things that are wearing on us. The fact that we know that they stole an election. That we know what they've done, but rejoice in the fact that they've shown their true colors and they've shown it to the masses. They've shown it to the world, you know, and as for the rest, a lot of it's out of our hands, but it is what it is. We're here. There's no reason not to live. I know I'm certainly living well, and I hope you that you are too. One last thing before I go that I want to talk to you about. I've got books. I put into print, and some of you that have been following me over on Brushbeater, I've been rerunning old articles that I have on American Partisan, because I know there's been a number of you that have reached out to me and said, you know, hey, I'm having a hard time finding old things that you wrote. So I'm putting them up over on Brushbeater to keep the knowledge fresh, to rehash some of the things that was relevant when I wrote it, you know, since American Partisan was started. I'm trying to keep that stuff fresh, but what I've also done is taken a few military field manuals and put them back into print. The first two that I put into print that went very, very quickly was the Special Forces Antenna Manual from 1976. It's written in very plain English, and you know, it says on the first page that it's not written for engineers. It's written for the common man. Heck of a good resource, and a friend sent it over to me, who was a longtime SF veteran, and sent it over to me. He was kind enough to do that. I put it back into print. So I've got a local printing company that I use. They put it back into print. I've got it pocket-sized, spiral-bound, so that you can use it in the field. You can use it as a quick reference. I mean, this isn't a book that I printed up to be put on a bookshelf and looked at and then never referenced. This is something you can use all the time. I did the same for the long-range surveillance unit handbook. A lot of people out there go out and buy Ranger handbooks and FM 7-8, which is the infantry rifle platoon and squad. They buy these and say, you know, okay, well, this is the infantryman's Bible. So this is the end all be all for, you know, small unit tactics. Well, the problem with those texts is that they were written for a context that follow on forces were coming behind you and that, you know, the unit didn't really exist in free space. The long range surveillance unit handbook, on the other hand, does. It's written for a 6-man team operating basically alone without a lot of infrastructure. You know, as most of you know, I was in a long range surveillance unit and had a heck of a good time while I was there and learned a whole lot. That's where I learned most of the stuff that I teach in my courses. And this version that was written in the mid-90s, I feel like, and a lot of people from that community share my opinion in that that is the best version. There's even chapters on survival, tracking, counter-tracking, communications in it as well. Heck of a good resource. So I've got that printed up. And the last one is the FM 23-10, which is the Army's Sniper Training Field Manual. I put that into print because it's a very well-written book on long-range marksmanship. And not just long-range marksmanship, but fieldcraft. You know, the most critical component of it being fieldcraft. And so, you know, I use it as a quick reference, and I'm referencing it all the time. It's just as important to me now to refresh that information in my mind as it was when I was learning it, you know, the first time around, and it should be for you too. And again, all three of these volumes are spiral bound. They're top spiral bound so that you can slide them down in a pocket. They are pocket sized. They're meant to be used in the field. So they've got a thick cover on them, a plasticized cover on them. You still probably want to cover it in Gorilla Tape, that black Gorilla Tape, that or the green 500-mile-an-hour Army tape that didn't stick to anything. that's an Army joke. Some of you guys know in the audience know what I'm talking about. You do. You want that Gorilla Tape. That's what you want. That stuff sticks to everything. It'll even close up wounds where you probably need stitches, but you don't want to go to sick call to get med dropped from a course. But anyway, not that I would know anything about that or have ever done anything like that or have a scar from it. But anyway, point is, folks, I'm putting them out there. Email me, brushbeater@tutanota.com, if you want to get copies. I put the announcement up on Brushbeater. I'm in the second run now, and I've sold a whole bunch of them. I'm going to put it into a third run because the response has been so good. And for me, these books are $20 each. I'm not making a whole lot off of them. That's not really the point. I want the knowledge out there. I want you to have something in your hands. You know, I can teach classes and I, you know, teach a lot of classes, but not everybody can make it to a class. Not everybody can get that experience, unfortunately. So, those manuals, $20 each. And, you know, I'm turning them around and getting them out the day that I get the order. I'm packaging them up and sending them out to you. But anyhow, if you want one, definitely reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. I would love to send one your way, $20 each for them. Anyhow, I've got some other projects too on tap that you will be hearing about later in the year. that I think that you're going to be very excited for. Some of the people I've discussed this with already are really, really excited. And, you know, hey, the times might be look like they're getting ugly. And the reality is that, yeah, they kind of are. But, folks, please, don't stop living. Don't stop loving. Don't forget that there's a higher power out there. You know, don't forget that there is a life to live. Not everything is doom and gloom. Treat yourself right. Treat your friends and your family even better. Put a smile on that face, and I'll talk to you soon. God bless. NC Scout, out.